and welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM with me, Sean Delaney. Inside Education is your weekly guide to the world of education from an Irish perspective. You can access hundreds of podcasts of previous episodes of Inside Education by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on the Podcasts tab. This week on the programme, we're going to hear about education in Cambodia from two local teachers and from an Irish teacher who has been working there for the last 5 years. Colm Byrne is a former student of mine who graduated from Merino Institute of Education in 2003. Today, Colm lives in Cambodia and is the Director of Development for Sea Beyond Borders, an organisation set up to deliver access to quality teaching and learning in Cambodian primary schools. He visited Ireland recently with two colleagues, So Pen and So Voon, and I met up with them to find out more about education in Cambodia. I began by noting that Colm had started teaching in Ireland in 2003, and I asked him how he found the experience.
Yeah, I began teaching in 2003 in Donabate, Portrane, Educate Together National School. I had the good fortune to work there for 10 years in Donabate, teaching classes from senior infants all the way up to sixth class. At the end of my time there, I was the Learn Together coordinator as well.
That's the religious education programme.
Exactly, yeah. So that in Learn Together, there are four strands, including equality and justice, ethics and the environment. And basically, Learn Together was what actually brought me to Cambodia in the first place, because we were looking in our school in Donabate to get a real-life experience as to what was happening in a developing country. And one of the parents had contacts in Cambodia. So coincidentally enough, Donabate was what brought me to Cambodia in the first place.
How did that come about?
There was a parent in the school, Nadine Ferris France, who had done some work in Cambodia, and she introduced us to a couple of NGOs there. And I went over 5 years ago with three colleagues in Donabate, I suppose, wide-eyed and full of enthusiasm. But something kind of hit me when I was there in terms of the pace of life, the thirst for education. And I decided then that I wanted to take a year off.
So the initial visit was for how long?
The initial visit, Sean, was meant to be for 3 weeks, but I stayed the whole summer. Then went back to my position in Donabate and then decided that I was going to give it a year. So I took a career break initially for a year.
Those of us who grew up were a little bit older than you. We remember, you know, the horror news stories of the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot and all of that. Were you aware of this history of Cambodia, or how much were you aware of before going out there?
Maybe like yourself, I was aware of its dark history, and I'd read some material on it, and also had heard a couple of harrowing stories, obviously. But it's only until you're there and you're confronted with not only the horrible history, but what actually manifests itself in the present. So, you know, Cambodia has a wonderful, wonderful side in terms of the people, the desire for education. But also there's a dark side in terms of one of the highest rates of suicide in the world, the pedagogical deficit as well. So there's a real challenge there with education. I'm there 5 years now. I don't know half of it. So in the car in this morning, my colleagues were telling me a little more about Cambodia and a little more about the history of it and the relations with neighbouring countries. So it's an ongoing process.
And when you arrived there, before we get on to the education system even, what were your first impressions of the country? You know, what is Cambodia like?
My first impressions of the country is always the people. The pace of life there is slower. Things take longer to do. And I contrast that sometimes with Ireland. You know, you go into a coffee shop in Ireland and it's boom, boom, boom. What's your name? Here's your number. You stand there and then you get your coffee. It's very much process driven. Cambodia, you might be waiting 5 or 10 minutes to get your coffee. It's very much a slower paced, more relaxed, different sorts of stress there. But the people are just absolutely fantastic. Maybe like ourselves some years ago in terms of history, but their desire, their thirst for making positive change there is just fantastic. It's obviously economy is very different to ours. It's built largely around agriculture and garment factory industry. And there are big changes that need to happen there. But overall, I've had a wonderful experience.
And your experience then of the education system. What was your initial involvement with the education system?
Well, initially I worked there for a fantastic organisation called PEPI Empowering Youth. And through PEPI, we've established a network here in Ireland, along with Sea Beyond Borders. But Cambodia has many, many problems. But I think lots of people agree the real way to make change in Cambodia is through education. And the real way to make change in education also is through the people, to ensure that the Cambodian people themselves can take on responsibility, can teach effectively. So Cambodia is a huge amount of NGOs, I think the second largest anywhere in the world. The problem isn't with the quantity of NGOs, a problem is with the quality of NGOs. And I'm lucky that I've worked for two now in PEPI and CB on Borders that are...
PEPI, what's PEPI?
So PEPI is an NGO that focuses on scholarships and dream class for students in a disadvantaged area of Siem Reap called Crawlan. And it seeks to provide opportunities for those students to get skilled employment, and those students in turn benefit their community, so they give back to their community. And it's making fantastic changes at a community level.
One of the things you mentioned before we started recording was that after the Khmer Rouge, there was a very small number of teachers in the country. Can you say a little bit about that?
So over 90% of teachers were killed in Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge. I think figures have it as low as 54 teachers left in the whole country. So the educated classes were absolutely decimated. It wasn't just the horror of 1.7 million people being killed, but the type of people that went after was, you know, doctors, teachers, teacher educators. So as a result of that, there was very much a deficit in terms of the people who were going into schools to teach often couldn't read or write. The teachers training those teachers lacked the skills necessary to be able to do the job. And the status of education then was very low.
What is your current involvement in Cambodia in education?
I work for the NGO CB on Borders. So CB on Borders works with teachers in public primary schools. So we work in over 80 schools in two provinces of Battambang and Siem Reap. And we also work with the Ministry of Education, Youth and Sports in Cambodia to make changes at a systemic level. So to make the ministry and others who are in the higher echelons of Cambodian education, to progress them, to progress ourselves, and to move the system on somewhat.
You've mentioned, obviously, that there's work to be done in terms of building the capacity of teachers and of teacher educators. What about the schools themselves, the infrastructure? What kind of buildings are available for schools?
Very basic, Sean, in terms of, you know, we spent the last 2 weeks going around schools in Ireland looking at fantastic displays, schools that have proper roofs, you know, windows, the basic things. Cambodia lacks a lot of infrastructural needs, but I suppose our message to people in Ireland is we're not even at the stage yet in Cambodia where we need to have high-tech buildings. What we need to have is high-tech teachers. And in terms of support that we look for, sometimes it's easy to get funding, Sean, for a school building. What's harder sometimes is to get funding for a teacher who can teach in that building. Because many NGOs have gone down the route in Cambodia of building a school that looks nice, put their name on the building, go back 6 months later and the kids aren't in the school. But why not? Because if a child isn't learning in school, it doesn't matter if you have a building with a roof. The teacher needs to be able to teach. And how teachers improve is through training, through mentoring. That's how you make real change in Cambodia. While infrastructure is important, it's kind of a secondary need in our journey.
You speak English. Is English the medium of instruction, or is English used in schools there, or how do you find that?
So Khmer is the language used in Cambodia, Sean. English is taught from grade 4 up. It's meant to be taught. Again, though, it goes back to, can teachers speak English? If they can't speak English, how can they teach English? So that's something that needs development in Cambodia, but I suppose that the number one thing in Cambodia is that children need to be able to read and write in their own language. So a typical Cambodian child makes it to just beyond grade 3, so just beyond second class. After that, they drop out. And we've done a lot of research in terms of the reasons for that.
And when they drop out, what do?
They work or they emigrate.
And we're talking about 7 or 8 years of age?
Absolutely, yeah. And what happens is it's usually boys. So boys usually drop out earlier than girls, and there's economic reasons for that. But fundamentally, why do they drop out again? It's because there's a learning crisis in Cambodia, and children aren't learning in school. And if a child can't read or write or do basic numeracy by the time they're 8 years old, there's very little incentive for them to stay. So we're focused on the learning and making sure that children are actually learning in school.
Okay, so maybe it's time now to bring in Sopen and Savoon into the conversation. And maybe I'll start off by asking you, you've been in Ireland now for maybe 2 weeks. What's, Sopen, if I start off with you, what's your impression of Ireland?
So Ireland is a very nice country and the people here is very friendly. And I'm really impressed about the school building here. Its infrastructure is very, very good, but if compared to Cambodia. And I also impressed about the teachers' skills. They are very high. Their skill is very high. And about the children, they have a good quality education in Ireland.
When you say the teacher skills are very high, what do you mean by that?
I mean that the teacher know what to do in the classroom to get the student involved in their lesson. So this is what I really impressed with, what the teacher skill.
And what about you, Savoon? What are your impressions of Ireland?
The teachers and school principal, they care about the student education. They care about the student safety in school and that the student can come to study in the school very long and can graduate with the quality of education. And all school principal I have been visit, they very high commitment to improve the teacher capacity and support to the teachers in their school to make good quality of education in school.
And you are a teacher in Cambodia yourself, is that right?
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you became a teacher and about your own experience of the Cambodian education system?
Yes, for Cambodian teacher, the first thing is we need to complete the high school level in grade 12 to get the certificate, and then we apply for the examination to be a teacher trainee. And for me, I got the training for 2 years in the teacher training school, and then I graduate, so I need to get the school.
So what are the subjects you teach?
I am the English teacher and Khmer literacy teacher, but I have another subject like geography and history.
So Pen, what was your journey into teaching like?
I was a boy born in during civil wars, and the life during the civil wars was very hard because we have a different soldiers in the country, and we have about 3 different soldiers. They fight each other, and I was a very small boy. I always ran away from the war fighting during the night time, and my father dig the shelter under the ground for a family to escape, to run into the hole during the night or the daytime when the war start. And there is about 2 meters length, meter multiplied by 2 meter, and one meter deep down for 5 or 6 people live in that during the night. And the life was very challenging, and food, it was very hard to find. So I was a small boy, wandering around the field to catch the fish to pick the vegetable for the family. And I started school late because of the war and because of finding the food. And I started school when I was 8 years old, and I went to primary school and spent there for 6 years study for subject, and I finished primary school. I went on to a lower secondary school. I went there for 3 years and keep going on, continue to high school for another 3 years. And when I graduated from grade 12, I took the examination to be a teacher, and I was passed the examination. I was trained to be a lower secondary school teacher. My subject is teaching English as a second language and teaching literacy.
And why did you choose to become a teacher, or what other options would you have had at the time?
I have a few options to be, I can apply for a nurse, or can be a teacher, and can be an accountant, something like that. But I really like teaching job, because teaching is my favorite thing that I really want to do, because I can see the country was in the trouble, and educated people were killed, And I really want all the Cambodian children have a bright future, so that's why I choose the teaching career.
And Savoon, if I come back to you, what was your experience of teaching like?
As my memory is about when I come to the first teaching in the rural area, I saw that the student very low ability. When they come from the primary school, because I'm the secondary school teacher, and I can see that the student cannot read and write. So I need to teach the alphabet again to the student in the grade 7 in the first class in secondary school. Because when I just test in the first year, they very hard to write. So it is the first memory for me. And I try to get the student to act out and to learn from the alphabet to pronounce the sound of the language. This is my first memory in my teaching. And the second memory is about the students living in that area. It's very hard. Most of the family difficult to finding food for their family. They need to cut the fish in the paddy rice field. They need to climb up very high palm tree to get the palm juice to make a sugar palm for selling with a small value, small cost. Yeah, so it's very hard for them. Also, I myself in the school after teaching, we hard to find the food. Also, sometimes we ate egg for nearly a whole week because
egg is it?
Yes, egg. Because it's hard for us to find food to eat in that area. It's just very hard condition.
Okay, yes. So Pen, can you tell me a little bit, what does that work involve?
CBN Border have a program called Quality Teaching Program. So we work with the remote schools, and we have about 81 school, primary school that we are working with. And I work cooperate with Kat Settlers, who is the founder of CBN Border, and she is also the teachers. And we develop the materials together, but it have to be in Khmer language, but we work close to each other, and we sharing the knowledge and skill to each other that become as the Khmer resources book or materials books that for the teacher to use in their teaching. So CBN Border provide the workshop to the teacher to build their capacity in terms of conceptual understanding of subject, math subject, and also the pedagogy, how to teach the math subject in the child-friendly methodology. So we provide the workshop how to teach number, how to teach addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fraction, patterning in the fun activities. So we have created loads of activity that the teacher can select or can choose from the teacher's manual, and they put it into the lesson plan. And we provide the good way that is a kind of model activity how to teach that concept in the workshop. And we think that just only the resources book or material and providing the workshop is not good enough, because some participant teacher who come to the workshop, sometimes they don't catch very well during the workshop, or probably when they go back to their school, they don't use it. So we have to run a program called mentoring program. So we train the school principal or deputy school principal in the subject math conceptual understanding, training them how to teach math as well, and also train them how to do the mentoring peer support in the classroom. So this is a kind of a pair mentoring in the school base. So CBON Border is the key staff who provide ongoing support to the mentors to make sure they have progress from what they are doing in their job, and mentor provide ongoing support to the teachers in the school.
So the teachers, they attend the professional development with you,
yes,
and then but the principals get extra professional development so that they can mentor the teachers back in the schools. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that is what we are doing. Yes.
And Colin, if I come back to you, what's your role at the moment?
My title, Sean, is Director of Development with CBON Borders. So included amongst my responsibilities is communications, HR, fundraising, and working with SOPEN and PO and others on the Cambodian leadership team. We're headed up by a man called Ed Shuttleworth, who co-founded the NGO with Kate. So my role primarily isn't involved in, at a classroom setting. Though I have to say, Sean, it's the one thing that gives me tremendous energy. You know, before coming out here to Ireland, I had the good fortune of going to a school in Battambang, and just the pure joy, to be honest with you, of seeing a child read and how rare that is in Cambodia. But that actually wasn't the joy. The joy wasn't seeing the child read. The joy wasn't even seeing the teacher see the child read. The joy was watching the mentor watch the teacher watch the child read. And why? Because all of a sudden now the teacher believed that there was a better way to teach, a way that maybe encouraged critical understanding and a deeper knowledge rather than just rote learning. The second kind of joy I got in the last couple of weeks was actually here in Ireland, and it was around SOPEN. So who's sitting here today, so SOPEN was teaching a group of fifth class children in Dunabate about his own upbringing, sharing the story around, you know, getting into the shelter when he was young. And I just thought, wow, you know what? The power of a teacher. No resources, the human voice and a story. And that to me doesn't matter if you're in Swords or Siem Reap, that's real teaching.
And the INTO are involved in this project. Can you say a little bit about their involvement?
Absolutely, and I'm still a proud member of the INTO. Through their Solidarity Fund, the INTO fund our work in a district called Bavel, in Cambodia, and they encourage and support our professional development of our staff through our use of a capacity builder called Jerry Kelly. Secondly, we also get some support from the Irish government through Irish Aid. They support our literacy program, and we're very grateful to them. Thirdly, we also get some support from Horseware, which is an absolutely brilliant company. It has a factory in Scenicville and Dundalk, and they were our initial backers in CBON Borders from an Irish point of view.
Are there many Irish people living in Cambodia?
There are about a dozen living in Siem Reap, so about 12. There would be more in Phnom Penh. So there's a small community, but a growing community. And actually something we're really interested in, Sean, is the Khmer community in Ireland. So believe it or not, there are five Cambodians living on the island of Ireland. In order to get a visa for Ireland or a scholarship to study in Ireland, you must reach a certain English requirement. We've struggled to get Cambodians to that level. We've had one Cambodian person who studied here thus far. We're determined to get more. But it's a small community, but it's something we're very much engaging as a network as well.
And what are your plans for the future?
Two things I'm certain of. I'll be working and living in Cambodia, number one. Number two, I'll be working and living in education in Cambodia, and hopefully teacher education. Because, you know, as I think we said today, we believe change begins with education. We also believe that, you know, education and education funding isn't all the same. I'm really lucky to work for an NGO where you can look yourself in the mirror and go, you know what, there are challenges here, but we're doing a decent thing and we're doing it well. Another thing that also interests me, Sean, is development education in Ireland. So developing Irish people's understanding of development, but also to develop teachers' understanding, children's understanding, teacher educators' understanding here in Ireland about Cambodia, how to make progress, issues around solidarity, empathy, respect. So I still hope to be involved in the Cambodia-Ireland network and see that grow.
And so, Pen, if I come to you, what having spent some time in Ireland, what is your message to Irish teachers and Irish educators?
So the message I would like to all the teachers or the student or parents here is that we really want to get us support and please share all this story to the other from one person to another person. That will be really good. That we hope that we will support from one small group to the big group and can raise what CBN Border doing to be recognized by the government or the worldwide. That is what I really want.
And Savun, what's your message to Irish teachers?
The first thing is I really want to say thank you to the Irish teachers. They are really warm welcome and they share a lot of experience to me. And I want all of them to see this information about the Cambodian education to the others, to the community, to get well known about what CBN Borders try to improve and try to work out in Cambodia. And we want to education in Cambodia are getting better, the same as in Ireland. And please share this information to all everyone in Ireland or around the world to know about what CBN Borders are working on. Yes.
Can you tell me why you made a visit to Ireland at this time, Colin?
So this is our second annual visit to Ireland. And the reason we visited was to connect, to learn, to share, and to educate. We had our launch of the Cambodia-Ireland Network last week, launched by Fergus Finlay in DCU. And at that we had representatives from Irish Aid, Horseware, INTO, teacher educators. And that was around the network that we're trying to build on the island of Ireland to support Sustainable Development Goal 4, which is quality education, and Sustainable Goal 17, which is partnership. Because the model of aid now is getting fantastic institutions like Merino, DCU, INTO, working on a fraternal basis, as opposed to simply, you know, transferring money away and good night. It's very much a partnership basis where, yes, educators in Ireland can teach us some things, but likewise, you know, Sopen and Savun can absolutely teach educators in Ireland a thing or two as well.
And that was Irish teacher Colin Byrne with two colleagues from Cambodia, Sopen and Savun, who all work with Sea Beyond Borders. That brings this week's Inside Education to a close. You can listen back to this episode, including an extended version, and more than 360 others by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on Podcasts. If you want to find out more about my views on teaching, check out my book, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, which is available from online bookstores or can be ordered from your local library. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.